I want to thank our worship team leading us in a couple of Christmas songs today. Helps us to keep our focus on Christ at the Christmas season. Sometimes you go out to the different retail stores doing your shopping and hear all kinds of different Christmas music, but this is the lyrics that we want to hear, reminding us of what God's done for us at this Christmas time. So speaking of being out and shopping, if you were to go out at this Christmas time and buy your loved one a diamond, they would probably enjoy that. And there are certain tests that you can do. Some are more sophisticated than others, but certain tests you can do to see if the diamond that you have or are buying is real or if it is fake. Let me just share a few simple ones that we can do on our own. First of all is the vision test. If the diamond is a fake one, you can see through a fake diamond. You can see the image on the other side of it, whereas a real diamond disperses the image in such a way that you can't recognize it. Then there's the reflection tests. Diamonds reflect light in shades of gray, whereas a fake will reflect lights in the shades of the rainbow. And then there's the fog test. So if you took your diamond and went, diamonds disperse heat instantly, whereas fakes stay fogged for a few seconds. So I know some of you right now are resisting the temptation to go, is this thing real? Did he give me what I think it is? Here's the point. When you test the authenticity of a jewel, you expect certain results. When you don't get the expected results, you rightfully question its authenticity. And similarly, when we read in James chapter 2 about faith and works, James is raising questions to help us test the authenticity of our faith. The main test that we read about today in the scriptures is this. To test the genuineness of our faith, we need to look at the result of our good works. Are there good works that accompany the profession of faith that we make? So we're in James chapter 2. I invite you to turn there in your Bible or to go there on your whatever. And we're going to read together verses 1 through 20 in unison, and then I'll finish out and read verses 21 through 26. So I have the New American Standard Bible. If you have that, you can read from your own copy. Otherwise, it's projected on the screen for us. So James chapter 2, verses 14 and following. We'll go up to verse 20 together. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, and be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Thank you. Now listen as I read verses 21 and following. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot and also justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Let's bow in prayer and ask God's help in understanding and doing what he says today. God, we believe that you have spoken through your scriptures in this passage specifically for today. And so I'm praying that you'll speak through me, that you will have our ears be opened to what it is that you want to either encourage us in or you want us to change in our lives. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this word. And we pray that we would be obedient to what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I've arranged the message into five probing questions to test my faith's authenticity. Now, the word probing, that should bring up some discomfort to you. If you were to go to the doctor and he took out a needle and he had to probe around in there a little bit, I don't like that, okay? And that hurts, right? Well, today's scripture, in some cases, may hurt, but we need to probe around there and see, is our faith authentic? And so that's where we're coming from. Five probing questions to test my faith's authenticity. The first one is this: is my faith all talk and no walk? We see in verse 14 through 16 this point. Notice that James says there in your Bibles that there's an ongoing claim of faith, but there are not ongoing actions to back up that claim. That's what James says exactly. If someone says he has faith, it's just a verbal claim, but he has no works. That's what he's getting at. Now, in our day and age, you probably know people like that. Perhaps you are that person, where you make a claim to faith, but you know in your heart there's nothing behind it. You're pretending. There's some sort of hypocritical game going on. How does that happen in our society today? Now, it may come out like this. It may come out like this. People would just claim their denomination. Well, I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Lutheran, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Baptist, or I'm an E-Freer. They also might say all of the things that they've done in our certain denominations. They would say, well, I've been confirmed, I've been baptized, I've taken First Communion, I know my creeds, I'm on the membership roll, I attended a community group, I go to the youth group. And so we can point to all of these things where we claim to have faith, and we can point to some religious actions, but there's no heart behind it. Did you know that you can do all of these things and you can claim all of this and be just as spiritually lost as a person in Indonesia who's never heard of Christ? Did you know that? There might be light shining on the outside, but there's no light shining through on the inside because you've never trusted Christ by saving faith. And that's what James says. Continue on there in verse 14. Can that faith save him, rescue him from the wrath to come? No, he says. Why? Because it's mere verbalization. It's not internalization of the Christian faith, of not even the faith, but of Jesus. Our faith rests on a person. So God, in this particular passage, is calling out the one who would say, I believe. Yet there's not one shred of evidence to display your faith. The person would not expend one calorie of energy to actually show that they do have saving faith. If you're a guest with us today, we've been going through the book of James, and we've seen a few examples already that James has said, if you have faith, these things should accompany your faith. So let me do a quick review. James has already mentioned that we should have joy in the midst of trials. We should have faith in prayer. We should have victory over temptation. We should be doing the word, not just hearing it. We should control our tongue. By the way, that's coming up next week. We're really going to nail that one. So we're all going to get nailed on that one, right? Pure behavior, putting away filthiness and wickedness, James tells us, and taking care of widows and orphans, showing love to everyone. These are some evidences of our faith that James has already pointed out. Now, if you look in your Bibles, he goes on to share another illustration. It's a hypothetical illustration, but he's proving his point. In verse 15 and 16, he says, if a brother or sister is without clothing or food, and you just say, hey, I hope that works out for you, that's no good, is what he's saying. In this scenario, verses 15 and 16, the person who's in need has an ongoing situation of help. They're destitute. It's not like it just popped up today. It's obvious that they need clothing. It's obvious that they don't have enough food to sustain them for three meals every day. So the commands, if we were just to say, hey, go in peace, be warm and be filled, how is that helping anything? Think of it this way. If the person could be warm and be filled with food, they wouldn't come to ask us for help. It's a need that is driving them to come and ask. And in many cases, people are so prideful to ask that when they do actually ask, you know they really need the help. They're really in a desperate spot. And so this would be the equivalent of us saying, you know what, God bless you. You know, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. In a situation like this, people need more than prayer. They need you to hand them something. They need you to help them do something. In fact, you might be the answer to their prayers. But But if we just say, well, I'll keep praying for you, James very clearly says, what use is that? John points out the same thing in 1 John 3, and this is another very clear passage. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Put feet to your faith, walk your talk. That's what James is saying. Here at our church, as one example, this is what has motivated our giving at Christmas time. Last year we gave towards some water wells for those in India so they could have water, clean water, that we take for granted every day, but also they can hear about Christ. This year, with our giving project, the 12 Gifts of Christmas to the City Mission, this is what the City Mission does in town. It provides a warm place for someone to sleep. It provides clothes. It provides food for them to eat. So how wonderful is it that at this time of the year, we're in the book of James, we've got this practical project that we can do in giving in this way, and it all comes together. God's timing is wonderful. And so I want to keep encourage you to respond and to be thinking through how you can give towards our 12 Gifts of Christmas project. All the information is in the lobby, in the bulletin, on the website, so you can see what we're trying to do to actually put feet to our faith. So the first question is my faith all talk and no walk? Here's a second probing question. Is my faith displayed in actions? In verse 17 and 18 tells us this. Faith by itself with no works is dead faith. James is not excluding one in favor of the other. He's not saying be all faith and no works, or be all works and no faith. He says, no, they both go together. If you were to book a vacation to go to Florida, great time of year to go to Florida, isn't it? Or somewhere warm. And you're sitting in the plane at the Columbus Airport, and you look out the window, and you notice that the right wing of the plane isn't even there. How would you respond? Ding, 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 ding. Flight attendant, go tell the captain, that the pilot, that there is no wing over here. We're not going to be able to fly. A plane needs a left and a right wing to fly. And if we're going to display our faith, we need faith and works, the right and left wing of our Christian faith. And we're not going to properly display it without faith and works. Have you heard people say this? Well, Faith is really a private thing. It's really a private thing. You know, I don't do a whole lot with my faith. I just have a personal, private faith. Did you know that the Bible knows nothing of such nonsense? That it's just a private faith as if it just exists in my living room, and I take it to church with me, but beyond that, it doesn't go anywhere with me. Jesus himself said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and glorify God who is in heaven. Our faith is to be brought out of the suitcase, to get it out into the world, displaying our faith through actions. And so is my faith displayed in actions? The one who would say, well, I just have a private faith. Now, our faith is to be personal, in a personal relationship with Christ, but it's not to be private. The one who would say that has not submitted their whole life to Jesus and is in danger of being self-deceived and, listen to this, in for a huge shock when you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment. You might say, well, I did all these things, or I had faith, and Jesus will say, I never knew you. Away from me. Let's not even go there. Let's combine our faith with our actions, our saving faith in Christ, responding in actions. Thirdly, is my faith merely intellectual and not practical? This is verses 19 and 20. We see a shocking statement from James about even the demons believe. So you're no better than demons. Please listen to this sentence. Intellectual agreement with the truths of Christianity is not the same as saving faith. How many of you have been told by your doctor that you need to exercise? But we don't do it. I know that exercise is good for me. I know it. I know the studies, and I've seen it work in other people. But if we don't do it, It's dead. And we might be dead, right? Here's some background on what James is saying here in verse 19. James is speaking to a Jewish audience. And so when he says here, you believe that God is one, what he's referring to here is what's called in Hebrew the Shema. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and following, where it says, hear, O Israel. The word hear is the Hebrew word Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Jews would say this on a daily basis, or still do today. It's like a creed that we would learn in church. And although creeds have wonderful theology in them, the difficulty in some cases, not in all, the difficulty with creeds is that they can become for us just rote memory. It just comes off our lips with no thoughtfulness behind it or no heart behind it. And so James is saying, you believe some of the demons. Do you know the demons have awesome theology? They know exactly who God is. They know exactly who Jesus Christ is. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 24. Jesus is about to cast out some demons. The demons say to Jesus, what business do we have with one another, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Man, they got it down. They could pass the test. But they don't submit themselves to him. Do you see the difference there? An intellectual agreement, a belief in the truth, but not an actual following through on the truth. So what James is pinpointing here, he's pinpointing a dead faith that is a far cry from the life-giving, vibrant, gospel-centered, Christ-exalting, life-changing, God-glorifying faith that I want to have, and I want to be a part of a church that has that, don't you? I don't want to take up real estate in a pew for 40 minutes on a Sunday morning and do nothing with it. I want a faith that's going to change me and shake me and move me to do something in this world that counts for eternity. That's what James is getting at. Something that's going to rock the doors and make things tremble in this world. Not just a quiet, well, I've got this private faith type. There's a Grand Canyon-sized difference between a person who claims to be a Christian and a person who really is a Christian. You've seen it. Maybe you've seen it in your family. Maybe you could point to your grandmother or a person at work and say, man, they just have such a vibrant faith. Many people would say that of you. A person who truly is a Christian, their values, their habits, their attitudes, their actions, their concerns, their joy, their victory over temptation and sin, is completely different from a person who only claims that they have faith. You see that? It's obvious. The demons believe and are in constant trembling before the Lord. And yet many people who claim to have faith in God have not even a shred of reverence for him. Here's what one man says in commenting on this passage. He speaks of people who say, the man upstairs or the big guy, you know. He says their casual blasphemies about the man upstairs can roll off their tongues with never the slightest tremble at the consequences of offending a sovereign and holy God. Why is it the demons tremble while sinners can sail on in blissful unconcern? Beloved, this ought to wake us from our spiritual coma, moving us from an intellectual agreement to the truths of Christianity to a life-transforming faith that results in action. That's what James is calling us to. Fourthly, is my faith biblical? Is it biblical? All right, now, I'm going to dive into here a little bit of some technical things, but I'm going to break it down for us and make it simple. So I want everybody to follow along, and we're going to examine just one particular issue that this passage raises. Okay, and in the middle of it, we're going to take a time out to kind of regroup and bring things back together, all right? If you are familiar with Scripture, familiar with the New Testament, you may have seen, or a question may have been raised in your mind when you hear James say that we are justified by works and not by faith alone. And you might think, hey, doesn't that contradict with the Apostle Paul's preaching of the gospel, that we are saved by faith? Let me bring out the apparent discrepancy. Romans 3:28 says, for we maintain, this is the Apostle Paul, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. But then you see James in 2:24 saying this. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Huh? I'm confused. What's this all about? Well, here's an explanation. And one writer wrote this. He says, James and Paul do not contradict but complement one another. So if you're filling in your blanks there in your bulletin, James and Paul do not contradict but complement one another. The seeming contradiction comes from a misunderstanding of the purpose and the recipients of the New Testament books of Romans and James. Okay, so track with me here. We're going to take a look at two sections here. The purpose as to why these books were written. First of all, when Paul uses the word justify and James uses the word justify, they're using the same word but different nuances, different bents or flavors to those particular words. Here's the purpose. Paul is speaking of the declaration of our righteousness by God. God looks at us in Christ. He says, you've been declared righteous by me. I've been acquitted of my crimes. Maybe most of us have never been in jail, but man, before God, we're in jail. And he says, we're acquitted of our crimes. You're free to go. Woohoo! That's what justification is. So the declaration of our righteousness by God. James is speaking of the demonstration of our righteousness before people. Do you see the difference there? So Paul is, let me break it down for you. Paul is saying, this is how we are saved. Pre-salvation, this is how we're saved. You put your faith in what Jesus Christ did. James is saying, this is what you do to prove your faith. So it's a before and after thing that's going on. All right, so that's what's happening here. If you're into big theological words, Paul is speaking of imputed righteousness. God gives us the righteousness of Christ. James is speaking of practical righteousness. How does that happen? It come out in our lives, okay? So imputed righteousness, practical righteousness. Now let's move on to the audience. So the purpose was different. The audience was different. Paul is speaking to law-keeping Jews who would say, and this is a bit of an overcharacterization, but I want to make my point. I'm saved by works apart from faith. That's what law-keeping Jews would say. I do the law. I am self-righteous. I'm righteous before God. James is speaking to law-abandoning Jews who are in this easy believism type mindset. In our day and age, let me give you a quick example, would be like someone who said, I walked the aisle when I was 13 at church. I went down for an altar call. And there hasn't been one bit of evidence of that salvation experience since. You know, they're in their 30s. They're living like they never knew Christ. That's what James is trying to get against. So law-keeping Jews versus law-abandoning Jews. The law-abandoning Jews would say, I'm saved by my faith without works. So you see the difference here? Okay. Time out. Let's all take a breath. Okay. Now we're going to go on to the next section here under this particular point. Is my faith biblical? So Paul and James are talking about two different sides of the equation. Paul before, James after salvation. They both use Abraham as an example, which is quite interesting. They both point out Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Paul, however, again, is speaking of initial faith. James is speaking of he's acting because of his faith. Abraham is acting because of his faith. In Genesis 15:6, that's the initial act of faith by Abraham. James is speaking here of an event in Abraham's life, namely the sacrifice of Isaac, or the near sacrifice of Isaac, which happened 30 to 40 years after that initial act of faith. So what does that prove? It proves if we just read the Bible in context, it clears up the apparent discrepancy. Abraham came to faith in Christ, or came to faith in God, the revelation given to him at that time. Later on, he showed his faith by being willing to offer Isaac back to God. Genesis 22:12 sums all this up. The angel says to Abraham, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad, and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, faith, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Action. Abraham believed way back then. It's those actions that flowed from that that proved his faith, which is why James says, faith is perfected by the works. All right, break it down even further. Bring us all back here. Abraham was not made righteous, but was shown to be righteous. That's what's going on here. James uses the same type of analogy with Rahab, the harlot or the prostitute. And it's interesting, he uses Abraham as an example and the prostitute. So whether you're an Abraham, a nobleman, or whether you're down as a prostitute, immorally living, or anywhere in between, we can all come to faith in Christ. Everybody's included by faith in Jesus. So Rahab, this is her profession of faith. If you go to Joshua chapter 2, and skip over to verse 11, please, the next slide. Rahab hears of the fame of the God of Israel, and she says this, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Does that not sound like a profession of faith? Man, we're going to be in a world of hurt because this God is coming after us. I'm going to trust in him. And why did she act? She acted by hiding the spies because of her faith. You can read all about that in Joshua chapter 2. Okay, let me sum this up for us. Here's a couple of quotes. We might say that good works cannot produce salvation, but salvation must certainly produce good works. John Calvin said it this way, "It is faith alone that justifies, but the faith that justifies can never be alone." It's faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. I can't just talk my faith. I've got to talk it and walk it. We just challenged our families here today with that very point. Is my faith biblical? Do I have an action-oriented faith which springs forth from my faith? Let's move on now to the fifth probing question, and that is my faith working? Is my faith working? The first sub-question of that is, do I have saving faith? Now we're going to see here where the Apostle Paul and James are talking about the same thing. It appears as if they're contradictory, but they actually complement each other because Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 sums it all up. We're going to the Apostle Paul now. So please listen to this. If during this talk you've come to the realization, it's like, man, I think I've only got a talking faith. I don't have a walking faith. How do I have saving faith? Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says this, "For by God's grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as the result of works, so that no one may boast." What this is saying is that no one earns their way to God through intellectual belief or through good works in this life. None of us could ever overcome the debt that we owe God. We owe God a grand canyon full of debt, whereas our good works amount to not even 1/100th of a penny to be able to pay it off. We're in trouble. And that's why God gave us this gift. You're going to get some good gifts at Christmas time. It's going to fade out about 2 weeks, though. But the gift that God gives you is eternal life. It lasts forever. You've been saved through faith. It's that initial coming into the relationship with Christ is by faith. God did it for me. I can't do it for myself. So please be warned that doing good works without faith in Christ will keep you out of heaven because you have no forgiveness for your sins, which have offended a holy God. Conversely, having intellectual faith with no life transformation will equally send you to hell because your faith is in faith rather than the person of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Jesus came to rescue us from hell and to save us to heaven, but also to have a vibrant living relationship with him right now until we wait to go to be with him. So how do we have saving faith? This is it. Realize that God is the one who gives the gift of salvation. I do nothing to earn it. Nothing I could do could earn it. And I'm saved by faith in what Jesus Christ did for me. It's a gift. We have to receive it. Many people have difficulty receiving it. Well, I work for everything in my life. Not for this, you don't. Take it. Take it. Take the gift. Open it up. Don't just shove it in the closet. Open it up. So I want to give you the opportunity now to open the gift that God has given here at Christmas time, the gift of Christ. Would you bow your heads with me? And in faith, by prayer, you can express your faith to God. If it's become evident to you that you've never relied fully on or only in Jesus for your salvation, today, you can receive the gift of salvation. So you can pray this, "Lord, I ask you to save me. I realize that I cannot save myself. I surrender my life to you today. I'm placing my faith in Jesus as the only way to receive the gift of forgiveness in heaven. Thank you for saving me. Today, I'm yours. And with heads bowed and eyes closed today, no one's looking. If you today, for the first time, you're saying, I'm surrendering to Christ, receiving that gift, would you just slip your hand up and say, that's me today? Is there anybody here who's receiving Christ today, first time? Wonderful. Today, that's it. It's that simple act of faith to receive what God has given. You can all look up here. Do I have saving faith? And that leads us to the next question is, how am I putting my faith to work? How am I putting my faith to work? In Ephesians 2:10, which flows right out of that, Paul says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Now, I'm not a prophet, nor am I a gambler. However, I would bet this week that people here in our church have encouraged one another by praying for the other or listening through our different family groups that we offer. That's our small group ministries. I'll bet that some of you shared the gospel with a coworker this week or a family member. I'll bet that some of you checked in on a neighbor just to see how they're doing. I know last week we had our Haiti team come home from a week of serving the Lord there in Haiti. Good works. Here at our church, we just went through our Reaching Wide in Ministry, Service and Spiritual Gifts course. And let me just say this. I hope that you were encouraged through that, but if you've not been serving and you went through this course, it would be an absolute waste for you to have learned all of this and then just sort of shoved your knowledge on the shelf with the book that you used. And so I want to encourage you, pick something and start serving, whether that's something in your own personal world or something in the community or something at church. Pick something and start serving. And ask our worship team to come forward and prepare for our final song. But I want to leave you with this example as they come, so please continue to listen. This example, what I'm going to share with you, is a great picture of how we should be combining our faith with our works. And you probably saw this on the news. On November 14th, and we can show that picture, New York City police officer Lawrence DiPrimo was walking his beat there on patrol, sees this homeless man who has no shoes, no socks. It is cold there on the New York City streets. So he kneels down to talk with the man, and he learns what the man needs. And then he goes, the officer says, excuse me for a moment, having learned the man's shoe size, he goes to the closest shoe store, pays $75 for some boots and some socks, and brings them back to the man and presents them to him. Now, this officer did not do this for the photo op. What happened was there was a tourist who came by and saw that this officer was caring for this homeless man, and she took the picture, and you've probably seen it on some of our social media. That is a picture of a man recognizing a need and responding to it, doing something about it. And we can be encouraged in our faith that that officer did what was right, and so ought we as we respond to James chapter 2. Beloved, let us know this, that if our faith is workless, our faith is worthless. And so let's be people who put actions to our faith, to trust in the Lord and to display his good works to the world. Worship team is going to sing a song now that brings home the point of following Christ in this world with our faith. Let's listen.